Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come this morning, and before we go into the word of the Lord, we just pray that you would prepare our hearts to receive. As we begin a new series today, Lord, on Thy Will Be Done, as we've just heard sung, we thank you that we know that in the midst of every situation, you're God, and we trust you. And as we go through the next 4 weeks together, let our hearts be open to what you want to speak to us. And we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me welcome all of our campuses that are joining with us today. Love and Truth North, would you help me welcome them today? My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries, and I'm glad you're with us today. And we're so excited about what God is doing. As you just heard me say, we're beginning a new series today, and we're thankful whether you're in Craneville or Cleveland or Tennessee, wherever you are, thanks for being there. We believe God's already ministered, but he's going to continue through the Word. Take your Bible or whatever you've got the Word of God downloaded on, and let's make our confession together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same, never, 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 I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You believe that today? I believe God's Word changes. Go to the book of 1 Peter, right before you get to the book of Revelation. It'll be right there toward the end of the New Testament. And I want to begin today by talking to us about transition, okay? So I want you to look in this passage in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. It says, in this you greatly rejoice. Would you say those two words with me? Greatly rejoice. Come on, those of you at our campuses, say it with me. Greatly rejoice, right? Now that sounds good right there, but let's read what he says to greatly rejoice about. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it was tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's going to be our foundation scripture, by the way, the whole series. So put it on your mirror or whatever and memorize it, because it's one of those that you need to know. Now, let me kind of set this sermon up, okay? This sermon was written and given to the secretary and all typed up back in July. This whole series was put together back then. Here's what I know about God. Two things about God that I know. Number one is he has a wonderful sense of humor. Some of you hadn't found that out, I can tell. You will when I do this sermon. He has a wonderful sense of humor. Secondly, he knows the end from the beginning. Amen? Because today what I'm going to talk about is transition. I preached this sermon about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, because I come in and I preach this. Most of you don't know this. This is not the first time I preach these sermons. I preach them so all the campus pastors can have them. And so I preached it to all the campus pastors. They had them about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And what's interesting is that as I was preparing for this series way back in the first of this year, nobody had a clue what was going to happen this past Tuesday. But God did. So we're going to talk about transition, okay? So go to the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, and let me just read a little bit to you. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, actually through verse 8. I won't read that far. I'll read two or three of these verses to you, okay? It says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to Facebook, and a time to not. That's in the New Eddie version of the Bible there. I love God. I love everything about Him, because when we begin to go through transition in our life, a lot of times we don't know how to handle it. It doesn't matter what that transition is. It can be a spiritual transition. It can be a marriage situation, be a family. It can be maybe a transition in your finances, some kind of a spiritual transition God's taking you. And most of the time, we really have a hard time with any kind of change or transition. So real quickly, I'm going to give you five principles of transition that I just want you to have, and then I'm going to drill down into the story of Daniel and show how that he handled transition in his life. Number one is this: nothing on earth is as permanent as transition. Okay? So just accept it. Just quit fighting it, right? Just know it's as permanent as anything else there is on this planet. Number two is this: transition is continual. All right? In other words, it's moving at all the time. In other words, let me do it this way. How many of you remember your first cell phone? Anybody remember your first cell phone? Yeah, I'll tell you what my first cell phone was. It was a bag phone. Okay, I think I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it was about that big, right? Remember those bag phones you had in your car? Anybody old enough to remember that? Right? You couldn't, I mean, it would pick up in three places, but you look cool. Because you had a cell phone. Nobody else did. You had a bag phone. And then you went to the big wedge. Remember the wedge that was the size of cheese? You know, big wedge of cheese. And see, some of y'all don't have a clue. Some of you younger guys don't have a clue what I'm talking about. And now, you know, now your cell phone has more memory, can do more than your computer could 20 years ago. Right? Why? Because transition is continual. I have a son-in-law. My son-in-law works for Apple, and I told him, we were just out there this past week, and I said, would you guys quit doing updates? You guys drive me crazy. Every time I look up, I'm getting, you need to be updated. I don't want to be updated. Right? Number three is this: the details of our lives are always in transition. Doesn't matter what's that. Your knowledge is in transition. Your priorities are in transition. I said this in the first service, but I'm going to say it again. Your priorities change. You say, no, bless God, my priorities are always the same. It's Jesus first, my family second, my work third, and the church about 18th. No, I'm kidding. All right? No, I don't want to mess your world up. I think Jesus needs to always be first. God's always number one priority. But there are times in your life that your family's going to come. I got the same reaction first service, that there's going to be a change that happens because all of a sudden there's a big project at work and you're having to spend, 12 hours a day there. And it doesn't mean your family is any less important, but in this moment, the priorities have changed. There's been a transition that's taking place in that moment. I don't raise your hand, but how many of you know your body's going through some changes? Hallelujah. Your relationships are going through. I mean, there's always these transitions that are happening. Number four is this: transition is inevitable. It's going to happen. Learn to handle it. Learn to deal with it. Learn to allow it to be part of your life, because you are going to live with it till the day you die. Number five is this: transition is a principle of life and creation. God says there's going to be a springtime, there's going to be a summer, there's going to be a fall, there's going to be a winter, there's going to be a time to be born, there's going to be a time to die, there's going to be a time to plant, there's going to be a time to reap. All of this is in transition, and transition is ongoing. Now, here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the benefits of transition. Because a lot of times we think that there's nothing really good about going through change, going through transition, going through, I just can't take anymore. Yeah, you can. Let me prove it to you. God says He'll not put on you anything more than you're able to bear. So you can handle it. You're still breathing. You're still alive. Y'all are giving me some looks. I hope the campuses are responding. Right? So I want to share with you out of the book of Daniel. So if you want to go to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, it's right behind Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, that whole aspect there. All right? Let me just set the story up for you, because I don't have time to read it all. Daniel, the scripture says that the king of Babylon, a guy named Nebuchadnezzar, that could be your next child's name, and Nebuchadnezzar goes into to the children of Israel and he takes them captive. He takes the ones who are the best looking, the ones who are the most knowledgeable. He takes them all into captivity. And there's a guy named Daniel, and there are three, what we refer to as the three Hebrew children, that their Babylonian name was Meshach, Abednego. We know all that as we look at that. What we find is, though, is and I want you to understand this again, and let me say this again. I'm going to say this about three or four more times in the sermon. This was all put together in July. You ready? Okay. So Daniel, here's the first thing. The reason that Daniel went into captivity was because the children of Israel had sinned and been disobedient to God over and over again. And God says, I'm going to judge you if you don't live godly. And so finally he said, okay, here's the judgment. He let King Nebuchadnezzar come in and take them all into Babylon. Now, Daniel is somewhere around 15 years of age when he gets to Babylon. The Word of God says about Daniel, it says that he's taken with a bunch of other young men, and the Scripture says about them that the majority of them are just going to hang out and be what everybody else is. In other words, whatever the king says, whatever the king feeds, whatever the king, we're just going to do it. And the Word of God says that Daniel asked the one who was over him, he said, look, everybody else is eating all the stuff that the king has given. And you got to understand, part of it was the Hebrew dietary laws. And Daniel says, I don't want to defile myself with all this stuff. So he said, here's what I want you to do. He said, me and the three Hebrew children, some other guys, we want, now listen to what he asked for. He said, we want to have water and vegetables, and we'll prove to you that we're going to be as good looking, we're going to be as healthy, and we're going to be as intelligent as everybody else. And the Bible says that the servant was nervous because he knew that he was reporting to the king, but he finally said, okay, I'll do it for 10 days, all right? 10 days later, he came back, and the Scripture says about Daniel and those who did this, it said they looked better and were more fit than everybody else who was partying on the king stuff, all right? So what we find is that the Word of God says that as this is going on, that we find that in Daniel's life, that God begins to give things to him. God begins to place some powerful things in his life, and we're going to see what happens as a result of him being taken. Now listen, I know some of us got our candidate elected and some of us didn't get our candidate elected, but at least you weren't taken into slavery into a foreign land. Amen, glory to God, hallelujah. All right? This guy is taken out of his land. He is now put into a place where everybody else is doing what the king says, but he makes a choice and he makes a decision to say, I'm not going to do what everybody else does. And because of that, God begins to reward him. In fact, let's just kind of dig down into it today. Would you look in the book of Daniel? And I want to begin in the first chapter. And again, I've told you the story up until this point. Verse 17 says, as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, here's number one. You ready? The number one thing about transition is that transition draws out your potential. Now, don't miss it. Okay? Here's what we don't understand. Until there is a demand put on you, you are never going to reach your potential. Now, I know I was gone last week, but y'all hadn't forgot how to say amen, have you? All right? See, here's what potential is. Potential is hidden, untapped power and ability. That's what it is. And so inside of you, God has placed this, and that you say, well, I don't really know. Well, watch. In Daniel's life, Daniel would have never become the man that God wants him to be unless he has to go through some change. Change, change, change. You don't want me to break out singing. All right? So in your life, wherever you're at, maybe it's your marriage in transition. Maybe it's your business in transition. Maybe it's something about your spiritual walk with God. Maybe it is the nation in transition. But instead of you saying, oh, my Lord, the ceiling's falling, the sky's falling. Wait a minute. In this moment is when God is able to reach down inside of you and begin to pull out the potential that you did not even know was inside of you. See, we got to get that. We got to quit resisting change, resisting transition, and say, wait a minute, if God's for me, who can be against me? right? Now let's keep reading. Go to the second chapter, and let me set up the second chapter for you before I read it. Here's what happens. Daniel, the Bible says there, was given the ability to interpret visions and dreams. So he is now classified as a wise man. The king of that day had a bunch of astrologers and people who were involved in all kind of occult practices that he would call in, and when he would have a dream, he would bring them in, and he would say, here's the dream, interpret it to me. Well, they'd make something up, you know, this means this and this means that. Well, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, has a dream in the second chapter, and you can read it later, and he says, he calls in these wise men, these sorcerers, these who are involved in the dark arts, and he says to them, I want you to interpret this dream. And they said, well, king, tell us the dream, and we'll interpret it. He said, I'm not going to tell you. And they said, well, king, you've never done this before. You've always told us the dream, and we've interpreted. If you'll tell us the dream, we'll interpret. He said, not going to tell you. And they said, well, king, we can't interpret a dream that we don't know what the dream is. He said, I'm not going to tell you. He said, in fact, I'm ticked. Okay, I'll read it. I am ticked, verse 13. You don't believe he's ticked? Let me read it to you. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. That's ticked. He got mad. He's the king. He has total power. He looks at them, and he says, if you don't start interpreting this dream, I'm going to kill you and every wise man in the kingdom. You ready? Ready for point two? Transition challenges potential. See, until you get in that challenging moment of life, you're never really going to know what's down inside of you. How many of you found out in your life that when everything's going pretty good, you don't pray like you ought to? Now, come on, tell the truth. You know you don't. You do those Lord bless his food stuff. Now lay me down to sleep stuff, but we don't really. But let something happen, correct? Let all of a sudden there's some transition happen. All of a sudden they walk in and say, we're getting ready to downsize. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Right? Come on. You know you do. You start fasting. You get from at least breakfast to lunch, right? I'm fasting for 40 days. Man, every time I see you eating, yeah, but I'm fasting between meals. Right? Well, we do, but what happens is that when we find this, what's taking place is that because we're being challenged in that moment, it's moving us past our present satisfaction. When we're satisfied, we just kind of let life happen. But all of a sudden, we get challenged, and we go, whoa, wait a minute, I can't live like this anymore. Listen, whatever your political persuasion is, let me just say this. Let me just be as politically incorrect as possible. Whatever your political persuasion is, I have lived long enough to see candidates that I voted for get elected and candidates that I didn't vote for get elected. But you know what I found in the midst of all that? God's still God. He's still on the throne. It's not shaken. It doesn't move. Because my person got elected or didn't get elected. I understand this, that even when it looks like what I believe for did not happen, that it's even in that moment, I've been taken into captivity, I'm in a foreign land, I don't know what's going to happen, but in that moment, God is able to get down inside of me and challenge me a little bit, and all of a sudden, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. First Peter said, I'm going to come through as pure gold that's been tried in the fire. Amen. So I'm not going to allow these momentary things to move me. The third thing is this. Look in verse 14. It goes on to say, then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answers, and I understand, this is the guy who's come to cut your head off. He said to him, why is this decree of the king so urgent? Here's what he's saying. Why is he in such a rush? Right? He said, well, why don't you just take a chill pill? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. Now watch what Daniel does. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. I don't know about you, but I know about me. If you tell me you're going to kill me, I'm not going to run to you. Am I the only one that reads this stuff this way? The very guy who said, I'm going to kill you, he goes in and says, hey, let's talk. I'm not going to talk. I'm going to be trying to find a cave to hide in. I'm going to be trying to find a place you can't find me. But Daniel, in this moment, understands, watch this, that transition pressures potential. It pushes it. It brings it to that point that you got to determine what you're going to do in the moment. You're going to sit back, let everybody die? You're going to sit back and complain? You're going to sit back and bellyache? Or are you going to say, wait a minute, I know what's happening. I know what's going on. I know what's being said. But here's what I'm going to say. In fact, let me ask you this question. Are you letting the devil give it to you, or are you giving it to the devil? That's tweetable, by the way. I mean, what is, are you, and the devil's just been on my back, praise the Lord. He's just been wearing me. Okay. No. The Bible says that the devil is underneath your feet. All right? The Word of God says the height, nor depth, nor principalities, no powers, nor angels, nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing. No political party. No matter who's in the White House or who's in the outhouse. It doesn't matter, people. This is where we got to understand. Let's shift kingdoms. We are not of the kingdom of this world. We are of the kingdom of the Most High God, and He is in control, and He is able to take what somebody's trying to use against me and promote me for what you tried to do to put me down. Get it? This is the very moment that Daniel has to make a decision. Now, let me say this. When you face that moment, you got a choice to make, and that is this. Are you going to accept the responsibility of the next level? Don't miss it. Or are you going to sit there and say, well, I'm just being used and abused at work, and people just don't treat me right. And No, wait a minute. And I'm not saying that's not true. Because understand this. Can I just say this to you? This guy is a slave. He's nobody. In fact, in that day and age, he's less than nobody. They probably treated their animals better than they treated their slaves. Why does it get so quiet when I talk to y'all? Right? And yet, he's not over here saying, well, I'm just nobody, going nowhere, I don't have any. No. He says, wait a minute, I'm gonna go talk to the king. Think about that. Think about the arrogance, seemingly, right? I mean, think about you saying, well, I'm just going to go talk to the owner of the company. Y'all all right? Well, I'm just going to go talk. Well, what, in the midst of that moment, he had to determine, would he accept the responsibility of the next level? See, accepting the responsibility of the next level of your life will put your life at a crisis point. Don't miss it. The king could have said, off with his head. The king could have said, you're the very one I'm looking for, kill him. See, in that moment, boy, it gets quiet sometimes. In that moment before you get to the next level, you've got to be willing to take that step of faith that says, if I live, I live, and if I die, I die. But I am not going to live this way any longer. Amen. Amen. Let me give you more. Can we take a couple more? Look in verse number 20. 20 and 21, actually. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. You believe that? Now, look what he says next. We'll go back to Ecclesiastes. And he changes the times and the seasons. July. You ready? July, this was handed to the secretary and said, put this in for where we are. Can you see it? He removes, boy, it gets quiet. It gets quiet when God shows up. He removes kings and he raises, oh, help us, Jesus. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Now follow that last part there. He gives knowledge to those who have understanding. If you want knowledge, then have understanding. All right? Now, here's the fourth thing. I bound your spirit, I can tell. Here's the fourth thing. You either believe the Bible or you don't believe the Bible. We're not of this kingdom. You don't war with earthly warfare, the scripture says. Your weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imagination, and everything that exalts itself against the name of the Lord. Do you know you're more powerful on your knees than you are in the streets? Come on. You can change more in a prayer closet than you can change anywhere else, because God hears and angels are released on your behalf. Number four is this. Transition manifests the potential within the person. Daniel's never going to know what's inside of him until he now hits this wall. Here's what I've learned about change or transition. Unexpected transition can help to manifest who you really are. Do I need to say that again? I can preach at liberty this morning because I shun social media. I don't get on it. I don't know what you've been saying. Don't want to know. But here's what I know. Unexpected transition will manifest who you really are. Change will manifest. Are you God's child, or are you still dealing with everything from the principles of this world? Do you really believe that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think according to the power of the Holy Spirit that works inside of you, or do you think that you are bound to what's happening in this world? Do you really think that the man is keeping you down? I've looked for the man. I can't find him. Here's what I know. The scripture says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's what I know the scripture says about your life. So no matter where you are, no matter what's happening, no matter what's taking place in this moment, you have a choice to make, and that is, am I going to allow this transition, this change, whatever it is, whatever's going on in my life, am I going to allow this to manifest who I am and what God wants to do in me, or am I going to allow it to put out my light? Is it not better, ladies and gentlemen, for us to begin to light candles instead of cursing the darkness? Is it not time that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ came together around who he is and who his kingdom is and say, I don't care if you're a Democrat, I don't care if you're a Republican, I don't care if you're black, I don't care if you're white, I don't care if you're Hispanic, I don't care if you're rich, I don't care if you're poor, I don't care if you're educated or you're not educated. We are brothers and sisters together, and God's hand is upon us, and we are going forward with him. Again, just remind you, July. God, you're funny. Look at verse 27, 28. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. Let me just stop there. This is not the point. When is the church going to begin to become the church when the world doesn't have the answer, to step up and say, give us a few days, we'll go to prayer, and we'll come back with the answer, King, and we're not going to be shy about doing it. Would that not change everything about what's happening? It doesn't matter what the nation is, doesn't matter what country it is in the world, if the church of the Lord Jesus Christ would step into its destiny, could we not make a real difference and turn the world right side up for the kingdom of God? Verse 28, but there is a God, listen to what he said, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. And then he takes the next umpteen verses to tell him exactly what it was he dreamed and what the dream meant. And those who study prophetic end times are still wrestling with it, trying to figure out what it meant. But in that moment, Daniel has it in that place. Here's the deal. Understand this. Number five is this. Proper transition always honors God. Don't miss it. I don't like what's happening in my marriage. I don't like what's happening at work. I don't like what's happening in the nation. I don't like what's happening in my spiritual world. At the end of the day, if I am doing what it is that God called me to do, then God is going to receive the glory. He said, King, let me tell you, your astrologers can't get it. Your soothsayers are not going to get it. But the God that I serve has got the answer. And God gets glorified, and all that begins to happen. See, here's the deal. When God orders your steps, he receives the glory. The Bible says the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Are you righteous today? Right? You see, in all of our lives, what we're saying is, Lord, your will be done. Daniel had to pray, Lord, your will be, I don't know what's happening here. I don't know why I'm in slavery. I don't know why mom and daddy aren't around. I don't know why I'm a teenage boy. I shouldn't be away from home. But in that moment, he said, Lord, your will, and if your will is done, I'm going to see my life move forward with you. See, there's a couple of things as I close today I want to ask you. Number one is this, what are you facing? What is it in this moment that you're facing? What is it you're up against? It may be something that seemingly is overwhelming. But I want to tell you, this change, this transition, this thing that you're up against has the ability to launch you into your destiny. There's some of you who are here today, and that thing that you're facing is that you're facing life without Jesus Christ. You don't know him. He's not your Lord. He's not your Savior. And I'm going to tell you, no matter what else you're facing in life that needs to change, in this moment, the greatest thing that can happen to you before you leave this house or any of our campuses today is for you to say, today, I'm making the Lord Jesus Christ my Savior. I'm not going to leave. I'm not going to face the rest of my life without Jesus. I'm going to face it with him. There's still going to be changes. There's still going to be problems. But in this moment, I'm going to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. So what are you facing? And number two is God being glorified. In the life of a Christian, God should always be glorified. I didn't say you were perfect. I didn't say you were going to have it all together. I didn't say there weren't going to be moments of difficulty and problems and whatever. But what I'm saying to us is that if we will face the moment of transition and change with godly fear and saying, God, you are for me. You are not against me. You have not left me. And I know that you are going to be there. If I can face life that way. The psalmist said it this way. He said, 1,000 may fall at my right hand, 10,000 at my left, but it shall not come nigh my dwelling. In other words, what he's saying is that everything that's trying to do whatever, God's going to use it to take me to the next place, the next blessing, the next promotion, the next thing that he has for me, even though it may not feel good in this moment. All that I can say is, thy will be done.